Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about Israel, about the church, how we actually walk into being the church again. But first, think about what's taking place right now. There is a Muslim cleric who is giving these disturbing instructions to his people and his mosque, and he's brandishing a knife as he's doing it. And you're looking at, as we showed just recently, how people are being stabbed, literally stabbed at bus stops, stabbed at different places. Soldiers are being stabbed. Knives. It's literally, you know, all about knives. But look what some Muslims are hearing when they go and listen to their cleric teach them about what they should know. Take a look at this now.
Mahmoud Abbas did the same thing this year. They even use the same term, Yihajimu al-Aqsa. They're attacking al-Aqsa.
In order to protect the al-Aqsa Mosque, this imam in Gaza calls on West Bank Palestinians to impose what he calls a curfew of stabbing to keep Israelis terrorized so they'll stay inside.
Why in the world would our leadership, would our president be supporting the Palestinian government who actually allows or promotes these things in Palestine? And you're seeing it's not like somebody just saying something. They're going out and doing what they're preaching and stabbing Jews. And it's like they're still promoting it. John Kerry reportedly goes to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and tells him he needs to keep down the rhetoric. That's rhetoric right there. Look at this. This, it's so prominent right now. It's so prominent what's being taught from these Muslim clerics in Palestine and the Palestinian people, that even a parent, they had their baby, and you're thinking, you know, what do I want to name my baby? Do I want to name my baby Muhammad? Do I want to name him Esau? Do I want to name him Steve? Do I want to name her Susan? Well, guess what? They actually named their baby. They named their baby Knife of Jerusalem. Watch.
Allah has given me a new baby, and I've named him Knife of Jerusalem after the Intifada of the Knives, because we are now witnessing a new kind of revolution. Allah willing, the third Intifada will not stop. After this Intifada, and in support of the blood of the martyrs, I've named him Knife of Jerusalem, because the least that we can do is to show solidarity with our people in the West Bank in Jerusalem. Giving him this name was the least I could do, even if many people don't like it.
I am the mother of the Knife of Jerusalem. We gave him this name in solidarity with our people in the West Bank. This is the least we could do for them. In the third Intifada, the Intifada of Al-Aqsa.
I am a friend of Knife of Jerusalem's father. It was my idea, and I published the post on Facebook. I felt that this would gain lots of attention on the social media. He was over at my shop, and he told me that he was going to the hospital because his wife was having a baby. He said that he did not know what name to give the baby. We were watching the music video Lovers of Stabbing on TV. And I said, how about Knife of Jerusalem? He said, how can I call him Knife? I said, after the martyrs and the Intifada of the Knives. Today, it is the knife that had its say on the ground. This is a really sweet name. It's the least we can do for Jerusalem.
Think about that. Naming their child Knife of Jerusalem? It's like the Palestinian people are taking on the identity that we are going to stab the apple of God's eye. We're going to cut up the Jews. I mean, that's what you're seeing taking place. And it's like, why are we even supporting something like that? Why did the leadership and the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, talk about we wanted Jerusalem removed from the platform of the Democratic Party? And it came back only by the request of a particular minister who happened to be in the crowd, but it came against the will. Then they voted it basically out by the Supreme Court. Why is that? You think about it. When you think about the Temple Mount, when you think about the Al-Aqsa Mosque, they're trying to incite all these things taking place. That mosque is sitting on top of the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is where the Temple of God sat. It is actually where Abraham offered up Isaac, where God revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, our provider. in Islam saying, we want this, we want Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, a French proposal just came in recently and they turned it down. But they said they wanted to make Jerusalem an international property, no longer under the authority of Israel. These are wild days. But they're trying to incite violence through the R, trying to scare all the Jews, scare everyone, fear. But look what they did. Look what they're doing on the Temple Mount at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Remember that mosque is sitting on top of the Temple Mount. Watch.
It's one of the most holy and contested pieces of real estate on earth, the Temple Mount. For decades, Islamic leaders have incited Muslims to violence by telling them that the Al-Aqsa Mosque is in danger. First, they claim that the Israelis were undermining its foundations to make it collapse. Now they also say it's a threat even for Jews to pray on the sacred plateau.
Extreme movements believe that Israel is planning to build the third temple and to destroy their holy shrine.
Known in Arabic as the Haram al-Sharif, or Noble Sanctuary, it's the place where two consecutive Jewish temples once stood. The second was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. Now, Muslim mosques occupy the site.
The Golden Dome of the Rock to my right is the most identifiable Muslim shrine on the Temple Mount. But it's the gray-domed Al-Aqsa Mosque to my left that Muslims consider the third holiest site in Islam. They believe that Muhammad took a famous night ride from Mecca to Al-Aqsa on his winged horse, Al-Barak.
Al-Aqsa was first built in 705 AD. In Muslim theology, the site precedes the Jews and goes back to creation.
You know, Adam, when he descended from the heaven, he came here and he was pray here.
No, no different between Sulaiman and King David and all the prophets. It's all the same. They've all been in Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Today, the entire plateau is referred to as Al-Aqsa. Nadav Shragai wrote the Al-Aqsa is in danger libel, The History of a Lie. He says when Muslim leaders want to unite the masses, they claim it's in danger.
The match that ignites the people and brings them to the streets and causes violence is this libel. Al-Aqsa is in danger and this is baseless.
Archaeologist Dr. Gabriel Barkai says there have been excavations near the Temple Mount, but never under it.
One of the cornerstones of Western civilization was never touched by the spade of the archaeologists.
Barkai says it was Muslims, not Jews, who began digging in an attempt to rewrite history.
Since the 90s, there were many destructive diggings going on in the Temple Mount, which were not for archaeological purposes, but the contrary, for destroying archaeological data.
Around 2000, the Islamic religious authorities dug up thousands of years of history with bulldozers from under the Temple Mount to make room for a giant mosque. Barkai headed an operation to save artifacts from the discarded material. Years later, archaeologists and volunteers still sift through the debris. According to Shragai, then Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, Haj Amin al-Husseini started the libel against Israel in the 1930s. He accused the Jews of wanting to collapse the mosques on the Temple Mount. That led to Muslim rioting and murder of the Jews, just the first of many incidents. Islamic expert Dr. Yitzhak Reiter says the tactic hasn't lost its potency.
They really believe in what they think, that Al-Aqsa is in danger as long as Israel is controlling the eastern part of East Jerusalem.
In 1969, the Muslim world blamed Israel for the arson attack on the Al-Aqsa Mosque by a visiting Australian Christian. That lie continues today. More trouble in 1996. The worst Israeli-Palestinian violence in 30 years broke out when Israel opened an exit for visitors to the Western Wall tunnels half a mile from Al-Aqsa. And in 2004, rain, snow, and a minor earthquake toppled the entrance ramp to the Temple Mount. That provoked an international Islamic uproar when Israel tried to rebuild it. We asked Muslims in Jerusalem what they think.
It's in danger to destroy him, to take the place. It's in danger.
They are digging underneath it and digging and digging and they don't find anything.
God will save it.
Recently, Israel arrested a key Islamic figure for incitement.
He told his followers Israel planned to break into the Temple Mount and they should use their bodies to prevent Jews from going up there. Experts say it's important the West takes notice now because millions of Muslims believe the lie is true. They say if it brought violence in the past, it will do so in the future. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem's Old City.
Realize all of the nations will be judged in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Decision, what we did with the land of Israel. They are saying they do not want the Jews to have the Temple Mount where it's theirs. It's biblically, it's historically, it's their land. It's God's land, actually. And they're trying to prevent Israel from actually having it. They're creating and inciting all these riots and the knivings and the things that are taking place over there. And it's the ultimate fear is, it's going to happen. You're not going to be able to stop the will of God. If God said there's going to be a temple, there's going to be a temple there. But you're looking at the coming land grab. You're looking at them responding to what's going on. But the King Abdullah of Jordan, we're going to go to break and come back, but King Abdullah of Jordan just offered a suggestion, and I think Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's taken up on this. They're going to put surveillance cameras on the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Finally, we're going to be able to see all along it's been the Palestinians inciting riots right there on the Temple Mount, trying to cause it to look like it was the Jews doing it. Nothing better than actual video and surveillance taking place. Keep Israel in your prayers that this will be fulfilled, and then the whole world will see exactly what's taking place.
This battle for the Temple Mount is very huge.
Yes.
That Jerusalem is, according to America's Now policy, of course, they took it off the White House website. Mm. They say that, you know, they used to say Jerusalem is identified as the capital of Israel. And that was done quite some time back. We talked about that on our program. That in the Democratic National Convention, they took Jerusalem as the capital of Israel out there. Mm-hmm. It was forced back in against the will of the people that were there. We showed you that as well. We actually have that for you. You can see it on a previous program. They booed when it actually happened. Then they went to the Supreme Court and changed it somehow, where if you're born in Jerusalem, you can no longer say that you are born in Jerusalem. You can only say that I was born in Israel. Mm. Then they're saying go back to the 1967 borders. Our president said that and others supported it, which is undefensible borders, which actually cuts out, I believe, that area. And then they're wanting to, according to this French treaty that was proposed to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, was to make Jerusalem an international territory. I mean, they talked about it so much, you don't even think about this. That is the property of Israel. It's not anybody's property. No. That's like people negotiating over your backyard.
Exactly.
And nobody's saying this is... Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is the prime minister over the property the Temple Mount. He's allowing
graciously.
Yeah, he's the one saying, hey, you know, the only people can pray there at the Al-Aqsa Mosque are Muslims, but everybody can visit there.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he say that? Because that's his property. I mean, he's allowing that to take place. And
he's being quite gracious. You think about it. I mean, it's very gracious.
They're very open to a lot of things, and Israel's amazing, their ability to do all that. But so you have this narrative, and the narratives are really important because whoever controls the narrative controls the destiny. I believe that we had that on a previous program. And, you know, people just, if you say a lie long enough, they said in Rules for Radicals, which Ben Carson said, if you're going to read any book at all, Ben Carson said to read Rules for Radicals. We had that called Organizers of the Day versus Organizers of the Night. You know, the understanding, not only the dark principle of organizing Rules for Radicals from Saul Alinsky, but you need to know the light perspective.
Yeah.
That's the dark perspective, so what's the light perspective? So we actually went over that, and we have that for you right now. As a matter of fact, I think it's totally available for all of our partners that are there at bfntv.com. But think about this. So this narrative is saying, oh, you know, there's this whole separate state of people that's not yet a state, and, you know, it's the Palestinian people. And the true story about the Palestinian people we're going to have for you today, but the narrative just keeps going. Even the president's former pastor, the one that he writes in his book that mentored him and married him and Michelle, the first lady, that he says specifically is right in there with the narrative. He just said this million man march or whatever just happened at the Washington Mall. Take a look. This is Jeremiah Wright. Pastor Jeremiah Wright saying, you know, specifically lining up with this whole narrative that's been going all along now, that Jesus was a Palestinian. Listen.
And please remember, Jesus was a Palestinian.
Say that again. Play that one more time.
And please remember, Jesus was a Palestinian.
Okay, let's do one more time so we can get this.
You can hear it.
And please remember, Jesus was a Palestinian.
So we just had the Palestinian flag raised, United Nations. United we just Nations. Said that, you know, John Kerry said that's a two-state solution. We talked about how he covered his face at the UN when they declared that it'd be a two-state solution. He threatened out loud on press, you know, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for a third intifada in the beginning of this whole talks that was going on.
Which is happening right now. But all of this causes me to remember that someone who used this the narrative and propaganda, I mean, very well, and that was Hitler and Goebbels. I mean, they continually...
Goebbels continually
painted Goebbels. Right. He hit this narrative over and over and over again. There's propaganda they use in media over and over and over again to paint the story that they wanted. And the people who want evil will agree with anything. They just want to make sure that the story gets out. Give me a narrative. Give me something to support. Paint the picture for me, and I'll get behind it. Right. And many people are doing that today in terms of Israel.
Yeah, you know, in the way that we're designed as human beings, that, you know, we, you know, God chose from the foolishness of what was said, what was preached, to win people to him. Mm-hmm. So the speech is very important. Talk is very important. How can one man who nobody knows give one speech in 2008 at a convention, I believe was, that all of a sudden he's lifted to this particular place? Because It, you know, well thought out narratives move us. That's why we have to be in the narrative of the Word of God to find out, okay, this is a great narrative, but let's find out if it's a biblical narrative.
Right. Is this moving my spirit or moving my flesh?
Right, you know what I mean? Right. Because
what's this stirring in me?
Yeah, people can talk well, man. It's great narratives, but we always go back and compare those narratives to what God's Word says.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.